This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, a deep dive into all of the news topics covered in the last week.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. We appreciate you joining us during these holiday, these couple of days as people are celebrating July 4th and the holiday, and people have different days off. And what we wanted to do was put together a broadcast for you to get you up to speed, because as you were kind of coming into the holiday and then the weekend, you may have missed some things. One, major victory for the Trump administration, obviously, at the Supreme Court when it comes to the travel ban, travel pause, whatever you want to call it, the six countries and the refugees. We're going to get into that. What does it mean, the Supreme Court granting cert and issuing a stay on those injunctions? The travel ban, as I'm speaking to you now, it's in effect. And again, we're not seeing that mass chaos. We're going to talk about all of that on today's broadcast. We're going to talk about Susan Rice, Obama's national security advisor. Remember the unmasker who said she didn't unmask, and then, well, she did unmask? She's agreed to testify before the House Intelligence Committee. We don't know yet if that will be any of that will be open, but the agreement alone, it just, again, shows you the moving there on investigations. There is a lot to talk about as well when it comes to healthcare. There's obviously time running out for Republicans to do a joint repeal and replace legislation. The House has already done that, but the Senate was not able to do it before the July 4th recess. Then they'll come back after the holidays, and they'll have less than a month. So late last week on Friday, President Trump tweeted that he supports, if they can't do the repeal and replace jointly, he supports the idea of a just outright repeal vote on Obamacare. So that would be a vote, straight up or down vote, repeal Obamacare. There would be provisions, and we talk about how that would work. We're going to explain that to you folks, because again, I think a lot of people say, well, won't that send everything into disarray? No, you'd repeal it, but it would have what we call a sunset provision. So it'd probably be, available. You're not going to punish people who were taking part in what is a failing program, but are still taking part in that. So he has endorsed that idea, which has been very popular amongst conservative members of Congress. What will be interesting to see is, do the more moderate Republicans, are they going to continue to work on repeal and replace, or do they just go to repeal now and replace later? But I think that the fact that the president is endorsing that is a big deal. We're going to talk about all of that today. The Supreme Court, the travel issue, Loretta Lynch, the investigations, and of course, Obamacare, the up or down repeal, which the president is now suggesting. We're going to talk about all of it today on Jay Seculo Live. We're going to really get into the details of this. We appreciate you joining us during these holidays. If you're out there on the roads, if you're traveling, be safe. Enjoy the time you're spending with your friends and family. And thanks for spending some of that time with us on Jay Seculo Live. I hope you'll enjoy this broadcast we put together for you to really get back into those issues. Anything you might have missed, basically taking the whole of last week and putting it all together for you in this broadcast today on Jay Seculo Live. Always follow us Facebook, Twitter, and go to aclj.org. And again, coming up, a lot of issues we'll take a deep dive into. Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Oh, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men.
Proud to be an American. It is very troubling. Former Obama Attorney General Loretta Lynch meddled in the FBI's investigation of Hillary Clinton. She instructed the FBI director to call the criminal investigation, quote, a matter, not an investigation. Even worse, she held a secret closed-door meeting on a government plane with former President Bill Clinton while Lynch's Department of Justice conducted a criminal investigation of his wife. Lynch violated federal regulations. She broke DOJ directives and ethics rules. Now the Senate Judiciary Committee has launched an investigation into the former Obama AG's corrupt actions. We've started our own investigation at the ACLJ, filing a major lawsuit against the Lynch DOJ over evidence of her unethical and deceitful actions. Demand truth and accountability with us. Add your name to our petition. It's time to uncover the truth. It's time to hold Lynch accountable. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have breaking news. President Trump has endorsed the idea that if Republican senators cannot come to an agreement and pass both the repeal and replacement of Obamacare within these next couple of weeks, that they should just immediately have an outright vote to repeal Obamacare, and the House would do that as well, and then replace it at a later date. A later date could mean, you know, not having an August recess. It could mean in the fall. Of course, I want everybody, because we need to get this out of the way right now. If they fully repealed Obamacare just outright, that is not going to mean that if you've got any provisions that are working for you still under Obamacare, that they're going to be gone. They're at least talking about a year, which, again, for some of you may want it to be quicker. But I think just to be fair to people who have been relying on a system, even if a system is failing, you can't just make it. You are getting rid of it, but you can't take all, you know, the effects it would have on people. It does not mean that it disappears the next day, but it does keep that pressure, if you say like a year left, to get the replacement put in place. So that, I think that works also, and it may actually be more popular, to be honest with you, to just do the repeal separately and the replace if the Senate just cannot get its act together or goes too far to the middle where Republicans of the House aren't going to go for it. Also, two big immigration security laws passed yesterday in the House of Representatives. This is Kate's Law. Kate's Law punishes criminal illegal aliens who have served time, been convicted of crimes, been deported, who then reenter the country. And depending on the level of the crime they committed when they were first charged and committed, then deported, if they are arrested again in the country just because they came in illegally, they don't have to do another criminal act more than just being here illegally again. They serve penalties ranging from 10 to 25 years in prison, depending on how heinous their criminal act was. Kate's Law passed. It got 24 Democrat votes, one Republican no. The one Republican no was Amash, who is a very, I'd say, libertarian to the extreme. He does identify with the Republican Party, but is not very in line with it. And there was the one that was more controversial for Democrats. Both were, by the way, Democrats opposed. Democrat leaders opposed this. Was No Sanctuary for Criminals Act. That means no federal funding to law enforcement in cities, to city law enforcement officials that do not cooperate with ICE, you know, that don't follow the rules, don't follow the law, that they won't get the federal funding that they would receive to support their law enforcement. But on top of that, it also gives the ability for people who are victims of a crime by an illegal alien in those sanctuary cities. It gives them a right of action, we call it in the law, an ability to sue the city itself for damages. So that was called the No Sanctuary for Criminals Act. It only got three Democrat yes votes, Cartwright, Selyar, and Peterson. Seven Republican no votes on that one. Amash, Curbelo, Diaz-Ballard, Donovan, King, Reichert, and Ross Layton. So again, those have both passed the House. They have a bigger uphill battle in the Senate, but I know a lot of people are concerned about Kate's Law and have been following that. We will take your calls on Obamacare and the full repeal, this idea that President Trump, along with members of the Senate, but we also can never miss the fake news.
That's right.
And Logan, big piece of fake news out of that New York Times. It's supposed to be so trustworthy.
Yeah, the New York Times.
Beacon all
the
of news truth for
fit to print.
Yeah. Yeah, this is from what's called the White House memo, which, so you understand, is a column, not a White House memo. And the headline is Trump's deflections and denials on Russia frustrate even his allies. It's a long expose that, again, is supposed to be another one of those things that's just going to, this one's going to stick, right? This one's going to stick against the president. In it, they claimed that I believe 17 organizations in the American intelligence community all agreed and all made the assessment against, or was it, maybe we can explain a little deeper exactly, Jordan, what they kind of went over for, but it was about the Russia situation.
It was they were trying to say that the entire intelligence community, we have 17 separate
right,
agencies.
All agencies.
That all of them agreed 100% with each other that only Russia was attempting to hack
right.
our election. Only Russia.
And then the correction came in.
Then the correction, not 17.
And you have to, again, you kind of have to parse through this because the correction starts with a White House memo article on Monday. So you have to be like, okay, wait, again, White House memo is the title, not, this is not the,
right.
The error came
and
in from the New York Times. Yeah, bury this. Make it confusing as anything. But if you really strip it down, the assessment was not approved by all 17 organizations, the American intelligence community. It was actually only made by four intelligence agencies, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the FBI and the National Security Agency. So leaving, I don't know, another 13, one more.
And interesting, out of those 17...
13, failing.
Yeah, and out of the four that they say did make that assessment, three were Obama appointees. One has held over from the NSA, Admiral Rogers, but the other three were all Obama appointees. And so, again, to make that kind of claim that every intelligence agency, all 17, are in agreement, and when really, except for 13 of them, that is fake news. It is junk reporting. It is just the worst of the worst because they think that what? No one is going to catch them on this? Everyone, I think all these journalists need to know. Everybody's watching them. They're the ones who are really being watched because they're no longer telling the truth anymore. They used to be the people who just told the news. They also had opinion pages. They could tell their opinion.
Right.
Now their news is wrong. It is literally fake news and it is you think you're educating yourself by reading the news? You're just getting crap information. I mean, that's the problem.
It's just buried. And the thing is, again, it's thrown at the very bottom of the correction. It's, hey, just so you know, we messed up. Hopefully no one catches this. They don't want you to catch the corrections. They don't want you to know what the truth is. It's not part of their narrative. And if it's not part of their narrative, they're not going to go with it. That's not just the New York Times. That's every news agency, it seems like, right now. Which, again, if it's not part of the story that they want to tell, they've decided it's not worth reporting the facts. It's always just get the slant that they want out there. And again, this is the New York Times. This is, you know, this is CNN. This is everybody. You have these investigative videos going on about all this situation. And I think eventually we will see a tide turn against these organizations. I think that's something that will happen where you already see it in the ratings.
Yeah.
But when it comes to any sort of credibility, will start to just disappear.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these newspapers now, I mean, like Jeff Bezos buys Washington Post, they do it kind of as like vanity projects. They lose money. They do it just to have influence. I mean, to say, see, I have so much money, I can run this thing even though it's not profitable and losing subscribers. And
right.
Some have gained subscribers this time period, I mean, but they're giving out, it's basically for free.
Yeah.
They removed a lot of paywalls. Washington Post has now put up a paywall. It's like every other day.
Which, by the way, Washington Post, it's the easiest paywall to remove.
Yes, exactly.
Just click one button and you're done.
Yeah. But I do want to get back to, again, so we had the fake news from from the New York Times, again. And I want to get back to this Obamacare. President Trump now endorsing the idea that if Republican senators can't pass the repeal and replacement legislation that they are working on now, they should immediately repeal. He tweeted this out, so this is in his own words, immediately repeal and then replace at a later date. So two separate votes. Logan, let's take some phone calls on this. We've got Thane Bennett, our government affairs director, with us as well.
Yeah, let's go to Dave in New Hampshire on line one. Dave, thanks for holding you on the air. Dave.
Hi, yes. Thanks for your efforts, guys. It's making a huge difference. Thanks. And Jay being right up there in the front lines, I'm impressed. And I'm also mostly encouraged by hearing what we were promised, which was to repeal, then replace. Yeah. That was the promise. That's why I've been so frustrated lately hearing them talk about this is what we wanted. No, we said repeal, then replace. Because what did we have before Obamacare?
Yeah, well, we had some regulations in place at the state level and the federal level. It wasn't totally unregulated, but certainly not at the level. You know, we had no mandates. The insurers had a lot more options. They still couldn't go across state lines. Remember that. That would still have to be done in new legislation. Could be done in new legislation. I mean, the idea here is, I think, listen, if you could do both at the same time, great. But if you can't, everybody, including all of us, we want Obamacare gone. We want it, that asterisk in history. If that's the way to do it, repeal it outright. Give it a year so you're not hurting people. Okay, you got to let people get off of it. And in that year, you're going to have to replace. You're going to have to put in programs to replace it in a way that's going to make healthcare better for people without taxing them and mandating them and getting more insurance options available to them as well. I think this could be a great idea. Now, here's my question to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, can an outright repeal actually pass in the House and the Senate, or are they going to be concerned about not having a replacement right away?
Well, I think there are a number of senators, Jordan, that prefer to have replaced with it, which is why they tried to get to that point first. But, Jordan, the beautiful thing about what the president has proposed, it's a negotiating point, it's a leverage point, because virtually every senator has already taken this vote. There were only two Republicans that voted no on this when it came up in 2015. That was Senator Collins and Senator Kirk. Senator Kirk is no longer here, Jordan. So with the exception of Todd Young from Indiana, who was not here, and John Kennedy from Louisiana, who was not here, every other Republican senator has already gone to the floor and has already cast a vote for this. So if they can't get the bill they're working on over the line, they would just be asking them to return to the floor and take the same exact vote that they already voted yes
on. And of course, if necessary, they've got Vice President Pence to vote as well. Than, quickly, before this break, the House, this would be an easy vote, right?
If the Senate passed this, the House would pass it the very next day, Jordan.
All right, then we'd get to the president's desk. That would be a huge victory, just repealing Obamacare. We'll be right back. Logan, tell people they can get involved with Facebook and Periscope. Share this with their friends and family on Facebook and Periscope as well as we continue these discussions. And we got more news, Susan Rice, too.
That's right. We're going to cover new news, and we're also going to be taking calls. 1-800-684-3110. One line's open right now. Try to get your voice heard today. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It is very troubling. Former Obama Attorney General Loretta Lynch meddled in the FBI's investigation of Hillary Clinton. She instructed the FBI director to call the criminal investigation, quote, a matter, not an investigation. Even worse, she held a secret closed-door meeting on a government plane with former President Bill Clinton while Lynch's Department of Justice conducted a criminal investigation of his wife. Lynch violated federal regulations. She broke DOJ directives and ethics rules. Now the Senate Judiciary Committee has launched an investigation into the former Obama AG's corrupt actions. We've started our own investigation at the ACLJ, filing a major lawsuit against the Lynch DOJ over evidence of her unethical and deceitful actions. Demand truth and accountability with us. Add your name to our petition. It's time to uncover the truth. It's time to hold Lynch accountable. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We got a lot to talk about today, but President Trump is ready to repeal Obamacare outright and then replace it at a later date. That based off his tweet that he sent out this morning, which again is if the Senate can't come to an agreement on the replacement, just repeal it outright. Logan, I just want to get right to some calls on this because there's this there, which is huge news. There is Susan Rice testimony. She has agreed to testify to the House Intelligence Committee. House Intelligence Committee. We don't know if it's be open or closed. There's not a date yet, but we have some sound we'll play later in the show where she's already contradicted herself on this unmasking. We've talked about the New York Times and their latest fake news story, Kate's Law passing the House, the No Sanctuary for Criminals Act passing the House, uphill battles in the Senate there. Also coming up, Chairman Grassley of the Judiciary Committee has sent a letter to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein on the current acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe because he's under three investigations. Did you know this? One, for his conflict with working with Terry McAuliffe. His wife got all that money from a Clinton ally, $700,000, when she ran and failed to win a state Senate race. Two, a Hatch Act violation, which could be a cause for removal, cause to be fired in the federal government because he campaigned with his wife as an FBI official. An EEOC violation, and this is the one you guys already talked about on the air when I was in New York, that involves Mike Flynn a few years ago because Mike Flynn was going to testify on behalf of the person who feels like they were discriminated against. So there is a lot to talk about. And you know what? When they call for these investigations, everything comes out and you realize how bad the swamp truly is. Logan, let's get to the calls.
Yeah, let's go to Lee in Texas online too. You're on the air, Lee.
Hello.
Hey, you're there. Go ahead. You're on.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. And I just wanted to say, you know, I really like what y'all are saying, and you are educating so many people, including myself. But I just hope that they don't rush in and do something that they don't have all the bases covered, you know. And it sounds really good what y'all are saying, that they're going to wait for a year to implement everything into it. I just hope that they don't put in something too quickly that everybody's
I think what you would do, Lee, is you're getting rid of Obamacare. It is gone. It will have a sunset provision, which means no one's going to lose their insurance the next day or their Medicare, whatever was promised to them under Obamacare, even if that's, you know, barely working at this point. It's a failing system, but you give them at least a year, which is how that process would work anyway. Sunset, this is normal in law. And then Congress has time. I don't think it needs to take them a full year, but they would have time to come to an agreement on a replacement much more comprehensively, likely with some Democrat support. And so, Than, I mean, this it's a game changer that the president has endorsed this idea, I think, today. And I'm waiting. We're looking for response. We've seen, obviously, we know the Republicans who have already supported this, Freedom Caucus types, Rand Paul, Ben Sasse, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee. I'm sure, you know, I'm leaving some people out. But, you know, we know that there are some who have supported this. I haven't seen any reaction yet from, like, McConnell, some of the others who are still working on the replacement. And President Trump did not say stop working on the replacement party. He said, if you can't get it passed, do this. But what is your reaction? What do you think the reaction will be on Capitol Hill? Are they going to embrace this?
There are going to be some centrists, some Republican moderates, whatever you want to call them, Jordan, who aren't going to like it. But look, that's why I think it's so important to put this. It's not a threat. It's a negotiating legislative tactic out there because, look, they can still come to an agreement, Jordan, on the bill that they are working on. But what the president is saying is, look, my patience will not last forever. If you cannot come together and enact what you promised for the voters, then I am going to call on you to do what you told the voters you would do back in 2015 when you were campaigning and you went to the floor to do. So will Susan Collins like it? Will Lisa Murkowski like it? No, they won't. And you know what they can do if they don't like it, Jordan? They can come to an agreement on the bill they are working on, and they can send it to the president for his signature.
You know, folks, by the way, the travel ban went into effect last night. A lot of problems there. See a lot of chaos at the airports. There was one lawsuit, of course, state of Hawaii, and Neil Cattell, I mean, these guys who were mad that they lost, saying, well, what about fiancés? You know, because the State Department did define, as we knew it would be easy for them to do, what does that bona fide relationship with someone in the U.S. mean? So they listed, it's basically direct family, right? Parent, not grandparent. I mean, like parent, daughter-in-law, brother-in-law, brother, children, adult children as well, things like that. And they've got it all listed out for people, so it's very clear. And I think one lawsuit filed because they want it to be a more broad than that. Okay, I mean that's they're not challenging the constitutionality. This is normal in immigration law to challenge those kind of interpretations. So no chaos. So we don't. What do we not get, Logan? Not much news coverage about it because they had people at the airports last night and there was nothing to show.
Yeah, I think people realize that it's somewhat indicative of the culture we live in. The fact that people are just kind of moved on past it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's that. The protests have finally kind of calmed down to nothingness.
Yeah.
So much so that, and maybe it's because they realize, oh, this is how it's going to be because we elected someone who you disagree with. Sorry, your protests don't do anything. But it's also just because the generation that's out there protesting moves on.
Yeah. And I will say I was in New York when the Supreme Court decision came out. I was on Fox Business talking about it. Went by Trump Tower. Did not see, and I don't want to say there were none because it's a busy street. There could be a few people with some signs. There were certainly no mass protests going on, and that would have been in the news anyways, about the Supreme Court decision. So again, we've got a lot to talk about in our second half hour, which is coming up. I think we can grab one more phone call before we go into the second half hour of the show.
Sure. Let's go ahead quickly to answer this comments coming up on social. Let's go to Lisa quickly in Modesto, California on line 3.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm just wondering what the repeal would do to the defunding of Planned Parenthood. How would that
Okay, go? So, Than, in my view of this, an outright repeal of Obamacare would just be repealing Obamacare. It would have nothing to do with Planned Parenthood funding. That would have to come through the replacement part.
Well, it depends a little bit what they decide to do, Jordan. If they put the exact 2015 bill up that they did before that senators have already voted on, the defunding of Planned Parenthood is actually in there. That was one of the things that we fought for. So it could still be in there. Now, I'm not telling – they haven't made this decision yet. So if they were to put up a reconciliation bill that only defunded – or that only repealed Obamacare, yes, that could be a fight we would have to engage at a later day. But in 2015, Jordan, they included that provision, and I would say we would make the same ask of them this year.
So good to know that you could actually do that through this process.
That's your big concern. We may be able to take care of it this way.
Yeah.
It
could still be repealed through just the outright repeal of Obamacare.
All right. A couple phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get the second half hour of Jay Secular Life, or you want to spice it up, try something new. You can watch us. Look at us. Look at our pretty faces. You can do that on Facebook.com/JaySecular. Periscope, we're also on there. You can also find us on ACLJ.org. That's the video feed. You can get audio feeds also. You can also find us broadcasting live on the ACLJ app as well as archive. You can get that in the App Store. That's for iPhone, iPad, for Apple TV. We also have a Roku channel in the channel store, so make sure you download that where you get to watch this show, our weekly television show, our feature films and documentaries, absolutely free. You can find that again in the App Store or in the Roku channel store. You can also subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. And that's available on iTunes or however you get your podcast in the podcasting app. And again, phone lines are open. As we head into the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. More coming up soon on Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be right back.
It is very troubling. Former Obama Attorney General Loretta Lynch meddled in the FBI's investigation of Hillary Clinton. She instructed the FBI director to call the criminal investigation, quote, a matter, not an investigation. Now the Senate Judiciary Committee has launched an investigation into the former Obama AG's corrupt actions. We've started our own investigation at the ACLJ. Add your name to our petition. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Breaking news really out this morning that President Trump has endorsed a repeal vote on Obamacare and a separate replacement vote. He did this via Twitter this morning. If Republican senators are unable to pass both the repeal and replace at the same time. Now, as Stan has gone over, this has passed both the House and the Senate a number of times. You can even defund Planned Parenthood this way through the repeal vote. So there, this, again, opens the door to some new legislative options that can be done fairly quickly. I mean, to repeal a law, I mean, how much text does that take?
Well, the 2015 bill was 8 pages long, Jordan, and honestly, it's only 8 pages long because it's in the reconciliation process, and that language is a little bit more cumbersome than others. But, I mean, very easy to read. You could read it in about, 10 minutes probably.
Yeah. So, again, it could be very quick, and the president has now said, I will sign this, as he wants to work with Congress. Now, some more big news. Susan Rice, remember, she was the former ambassador to the UN for President Obama. She was going to be the Secretary of State, but had some issues with Benghazi, so was not going to go through that confirmation process. So she was brought into the White House to be the president's top national security advisor, and that was her title. She has now agreed to testify before the House Judiciary Committee. That means she'd be under oath. We don't yet know if it will be closed press in a classified setting or open or one of those mixtures where some is open and then some is closed. We don't have the date yet, but we do know she has, at this point, agreed. And remember, this is why she wasn't under oath when she made these misleading statements or lied about unmasking, but she would be this time. Take a listen. This is her first response when she was directly asked about unmasking Americans and campaigns and all of that. Take a listen.
I began by asking about the allegations leveled today by House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes that Trump transition officials, including the president, may have been swept up in surveillance of foreigners at the end of the Obama administration.
I know nothing about this. I was surprised to see reports from Chairman Nunes on that count today.
I know nothing about this. That's a very definitive statement. She better be glad she wasn't under oath then, because take a listen. Some more information came out. Some more people who were under oath had to testify to be honest. And then she did another interview. Here was her answer this time.
It was not uncommon. In fact, it was necessary at times to make those requests to find out the identity of U.S. officials on every topic under the sun when it seemed relevant. I don't have a particular recollection of doing that more frequently after the election, for example, than doing so before.
Okay. So first she says, I know nothing about this. The second time she said it wasn't uncommon what she knew nothing about. And that it was necessary often, necessary at times, and may have happened more, may have happened less, even after they knew it was going to be President Trump. So you realize she went from, I know nothing, to, yes, I was doing this.
Right.
Now she's going to be under oath, and this is a big deal, very quickly.
Absolutely. She also said, I leaked nothing to nobody, which is an interesting conversation. I hope, Jordan, that at least part of this is open. Not all of them have been, but I think the American people need to hear directly from her in open session to the extent possible.
All right. We got a lot to talk about. I mean, obviously, the biggest issue is that President Trump has endorsed the political idea and legislative idea of a just outright vote to repeal Obamacare, one vote just to repeal Obamacare, and then a second vote for the replacement. He's endorsed that. He did it via Twitter this morning. I think this could be a game changer because the Senate is having trouble getting language together. We're going to continue to take your calls and questions about that, about Susan Rice, 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, people can get involved also through social media. We'll take some of those comments as well.
Yeah, tweet us at Jay Sekulow. You can also put in your comments. I'll take some of those during upcoming breaks and during the segments on social media. If you're watching on Facebook or if you want to comment in and can't call, join us on Facebook. We're broadcasting live, and we'll get a lot of those comments coming up. We do have exclusive videos coming up during the break, so you get to watch something if you're watching online about this topic. So it's a great way to watch our broadcast is to actually engage via social media. We hope to see you over there. Be right back.
It is very troubling. Former Obama Attorney General Loretta Lynch meddled in the FBI's investigation of Hillary Clinton. she instructed the FBI director to call the criminal investigation, quote, a matter, not an investigation. Even worse, she held a secret closed-door meeting on a government plane with former President Bill Clinton while Lynch's Department of Justice conducted a criminal investigation of his wife. Lynch violated federal regulations. She broke DOJ directives and ethics rules. Now the Senate Judiciary Committee has launched an investigation into the former Obama AG's corrupt actions. We've started our own investigation at the ACLJ, filing a major lawsuit against the Lynch DOJ over evidence of her unethical and deceitful actions. Demand truth and accountability with us. Add your name to our petition. It's time to uncover the truth. It's time to hold Lynch accountable. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So the big news, obviously, President Trump has endorsed the idea legislatively for the Senate and House to just outright repeal Obamacare and then do a separate replacement package for, you know, healthcare to kind of solve insurance problems that the country is facing. I just want to say this because I think it answers a lot of questions very quickly. If it was repealed that way, just outright, it's not going to disappear overnight. It's not going to hurt anybody that's relying on the plan. There will be a sunset period, at least a year. And then, of course, plenty of time for Congress to come in and go through and probably work in a more bipartisan way, at least with some Democrats, to get a better healthcare system in place with more choices, more options for the American people. So this wouldn't punish people by, you know, ending Obamacare the next day, but it would be the full repeal. And there's nothing the Supreme Court can do about that. That is just up to Congress, and now President Trump has endorsed it. And you know President Obama would fight this tooth and nail and his allies, because this literally in his history books, if you looked at legislative achievements, not executive orders, but legislative achievements, you would find none if this was repealed. None domestically. I mean, nothing at all. And foreign policy-wide, leading from behind, left the world in a more dangerous place. I mean, with ISIS and everything else we're dealing with. Logan, let's take some phone calls. We got comments coming in through social media as well. Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, is with us.
Let's get through some of these calls. People have been holding a long time. Let's go to Richard in Ohio on line 5. Thanks for holding, Richard.
Hey, Richard.
Hi. First of all, thank you for educating the public and telling the truth. My comment is about Susan Rice.
Yeah.
In listening to you guys, no wonder she's willing to come and testify, because conveniently all the documentation on the unmasking has been moved to the not yet built Obama library and is supposed to be sealed for 5 years. My question is, how can they have a committee hearing and really do justice if they don't have the documentation to confront this woman with? And if the president and Congress
and
people
can get the documentation, Richard. They can get the documentation. The president can get whatever documentation he wants and requests. The former president can't keep that from him. President just says, we need this. So I don't think that will be an issue. That would be information we would not see, Than, in an open hearing, obviously. That would be in the classified portion, the closed portion of the hearing, if these documents do in fact exist. Not obviously, we know she was part of the unmasking, but if unmasking documents exist that show that she was unmasking Trump officials specifically or other Republican candidate and targeting those individuals.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. I mean, that's why at least part of this hearing, to Richard's point, would be in closed session, because only the members would have the ability to get that. But I would just say this, too. I mean, even if they didn't get the information, Jordan, if she comes and testifies under oath, and then 5 years from now we learned that she was lying to Congress, well, then she would still be subject to perjury charges at that point. So there is still an incentive, even if some documents would be under wraps, for her to tell the truth, because 5 years from now, she's still going to be around.
Yeah, so there's documents that the Presidential Library gets, but they don't get like all the national security stuff. That's not what that is about. So that conspiracy theory is just that, a conspiracy theory. And if you destroy these documents or don't allow the government to see those documents, you are committing a crime. So don't, you know, think twice before the conspiracy theories and some of the other fake news you see out there as well. Let's take some more phone calls as well.
All right, let's go to Bonnie, who's calling in Texas. In
Houston. Hey, Bonnie.
You're on the air.
Hey, yes, I'd like to see a complete repeal of Obamacare, and then the Congress can come back later and say, okay, insurance companies, you can sell your policies across state lines, which would open up immense competition, yeah, just like car and
Bonnie, I think either way this is done. Remember, we kept saying that if you did this repeal and replace like they were first talking about, that was to use reconciliation. You couldn't do the across state lines with that. Then you do the second phase. That would be phase one. Phase two would be the agency and administrative changes through HHS. Phase three would be just what you're saying, Bonnie, which is you know, things like buying insurance across state lines, driving up the competition, which would lower prices. That then would be done in two different ways with what is being proposed by President Trump. And he's still saying, if the Senate can't get it done this way. So if we can't do phase one, two, three, let's just do phase one and two. Phase one would be a outright repeal of Obamacare, and then phase two would mean a more comprehensive legislative program on health care. And I think, obviously, we're hearing from our listeners plenty of support from that. It will be interesting, as Stan has noted, Logan, to see where those moderate, mushy senators from the Republican Party, where what they start saying. And so far, they appear to be pretty quiet. And they may be quiet through the July 4th recess.
Yeah, that's the question of what do they actually believe? Do they really want to repeal this thing to begin with? That's going to be the question that comes in. I think that a lot of people...
Yeah, it was easy
now,
to do it when they
it's
knew...
It's easy to
it
say, well, it's flawed, it's not perfect, it's not really fully
also
repealing.
Also, they knew that Obama was going to veto it.
Right. So now, you know, it's up to them.
Yep. All right, take some more phone calls. Take some... any comments coming on social media as well that we could get to? I know people are watching on Facebook, Periscope. Keep sharing this with your friends and family as well. We'll keep talking Obamacare. Keep talking about Susan Rice's testimony, and I think we could play that sound again for people later in the next segment of the broadcast. But any comments coming in through social media?
Yeah, a lot of stuff we've covered before, and some are hypothetical. A lot of people are asking about, will it affect pre-existing conditions? Do we know them? I mean, this is right now kind of a hypothetical.
There would be
concept.
A sunset provision where it would not.
Right.
And then there would be a new law, and all of that would have to be addressed again. So ultimately, long-term, yes. Short-term, no. And short-term meaning at least a year.
And people are also talking about Susan Rice asking, do you think she'll just plead the fifth even if she agrees to testify?
Man, I don't think she would have agreed to testify if she was just going to plead the fifth. I mean, you never know, and people's minds can change as info starts coming out, and you always have the right to do that. But why agree to testify if that was all you were going to do? They'd have to subpoena her.
Yeah, it's always a possibility, Jordan. I don't think she's going to do that. And I would just tell you the reason she agreed to come to the House Intel Committee is because finally a Democrat ranking member agreed to invite her. Remember, she had a previous request from a chairman and she declined to do it because the ranking member wouldn't go along. So I think she's going to come talk. The question will be how much of it is an open session and how much of it is behind closed doors.
Yeah. So again, I help try to answer those questions for people as they come in. Let's take another phone call.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Jamie, who's calling in Roswell, New Mexico, on line one. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hi. My comment is just about the president's tweet about repealing Obamacare and then replacing it. I wholeheartedly support that because one of the things that upset me the most about Obamacare was that it was 2,000 pages of legislation that our representatives hadn't read. And I don't want that to happen again. I don't want to see that happen again. And as a side note, my health insurance is more than my mortgage right now.
Yes. I mean, Jamie, we have heard that. That is the failing of Obamacare right there, Than. The idea that people now are paying more for insurance than they are for their home mortgage, which is absurd how bad this system has gotten because of what President Obama and the Democrats crafted with this Affordable Care Act, which is not affordable for the government and not affordable for the American people. So it doesn't work for anybody. It really, all it is kind of a teaser. If there were a Democrat president, which there's not, and a Democrat Congress, it was a teaser to keep feeding more money into the federal bureaucracy. And that didn't work out the way they wanted to, Than, because the Democrat candidate for president lost, and they have not got the House or the Senate.
Jordan, people are hurting now. Obamacare has failed. By this time next year, most of America will have zero or one choices under Obamacare. Frankly, that harm is a lot greater than Obamacare going away, even if it were to happen tomorrow, which, as you pointed out, it won't. Just to the caller's other point, though, Jordan, even the current Senate plan that they're talking about is only 142 pages long. I've read through it three times. So you're not talking about the 2,700-page bill of Obamacare. Even that version, a regular American can read in the duration of one day.
All right. So, folks, we've got another segment coming up. We take a lot of phone calls in, 1-800-684-3110. I want to get into Chairman Grassley, who sent this letter. And this, again, folks, this is all tying in together. It's all tying into these big picture. To the acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, he was the interim replacement. President Trump has named who he would like the next FBI director to be. He's got to go through the confirmation process. But the acting director, his wife was a Democrat candidate for state Senate, took $700,000 from Terry McAuliffe and related entities to the Clintons. He's under investigation by the special counsel at the FBI for that. He's also under investigation for the Hatch Act because he campaigned with his wife. And get this one, you guys talked about a little bit, under investigation for an EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, complaint for discriminatory hiring. Mike Flynn was going to testify against McCabe.
Right.
This was before Mike Flynn even knew Donald Trump. And now McCabe is investigating Mike Flynn. So now we're looking into all the things that McCabe is being investigated about. A lot of, again, we said politics at the FBI has gotten to a level that is just out of control. Our bureaucracy has gotten to this political level where they are all so partisan that how on earth could they be actually doing their jobs? That's what Chairman Grassley's asking the current acting FBI directors. But we got another segment coming up, and we got to take a lot of calls.
That's right. Phone lines are jammed right now, but they'll open up as we take calls. So continue to call us as you hear people go off the air. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can get your comments in on social media. We'll take some of those during the break as well. But again, 1-800-684-3110. All your calls when we get back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It is very troubling. Former Obama Attorney General Loretta Lynch meddled in the FBI's investigation of Hillary Clinton. She instructed the FBI director to call the criminal investigation, quote, a matter, not an investigation. Even worse, she held a secret closed-door meeting on a government plane with former President Bill Clinton while Lynch's Department of Justice conducted a criminal investigation of his wife. Lynch violated federal regulations. She broke DOJ directives and ethics rules. Now the Senate Judiciary Committee has launched an investigation into the former Obama AG's corrupt actions. We've started our own investigation at the ACLJ, filing a major lawsuit against the Lynch DOJ over evidence of her unethical and deceitful actions. Demand truth and accountability with us. Add your name to our petition. It's time to uncover the truth. It's time to hold Lynch accountable. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We've got the president saying, hey, if you can't get the repeal and replace done, just repeal it and then replace it later. Talking about Obamacare. That's big. That's a big shift. And so, again, should be in the next couple weeks where we'll know about if that strategy could even be sooner than that. We got Susan Rice agreeing to testify, the House Intel Committee, on unmasking, which she's already in the media. She wasn't under oath, but in the media, misled, I would say, got to the point of lying about whether or not she said she had no idea about it. Then she said, yeah, we did it all the time. You know, it doesn't make sense. We talked about New York Times fake news, talked to the FBI director, acting director now, being questioned by the Senate Judiciary Committee about some probes. He's got an EEOC investigation against him. He's got a special counsel investigation against him. This is the FBI director currently, Andrew McCabe, and a Hatch Act violation because he got politically involved for his wife's state Senate campaign, right, which most of the money came from. The Clintons' best friend, Terry McAuliffe, the current governor of Virginia.
All right. Let's take some calls. Let's do it. Let's go to Jenny in California on line 2. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. I have a comment to make regarding there's three categories before Obamacare that people were concerned about.
Yeah.
That was the underinsured, the uninsured, and the pre-existing conditions. Now, I had family members who liked their insurance policies who were retired and could afford those policies. After Obamacare came in, like everybody else's, it skyrocketed. I'm looking at how do we fund those three categories without having to interrupt the insurance policies of people who wanted to keep their doctor, et cetera. My thought was, okay, it's already established fact that Obamacare is a tax.
Yeah, here's what I think, Jenny. I mean, Than, this is why it's when we talk about this issue, I mean, she's absolutely correct. We're not talking about everybody. I mean, you know, the majority of people were already getting adequate insurance, above adequate, even by the Obamacare standards, to a point where they were going to start taxing those pretty soon, taxing the insurance plans. So, hey, you had really good insurance, we're going to tax you for that. So a lot of people got it through their employers or their spouse's employer, and then a lot of people then got it from based on their age or economics and, you know, where they're standing, if disability, things like that. There was just this small gap in the middle that didn't get it those ways. And yes, it's millions of people, but in a country of 300 plus million people, that's all we're really talking about addressing. Now, we could talk about improving it for everybody, like letting us all buy it across state lines, compete that way. But again, it'd be a limited group of people, Than.
It's such a great call from Jenny, and I would agree with her that the categories that she named were actually harmed by this while everybody else's prices went up. And Jordan, I think it goes back to the point that the vast majority of coverage increase that we saw in Obamacare was simply the Medicaid expansion. So part of returning that to the states, if the current bill that's being worked on, if that were to happen, I would argue that the people that did get added under Obamacare to Medicaid would actually be helped more. But Jenny is absolutely right. There was a stated group of categories that Obamacare was going to help, and it has absolutely failed in that regard, Jordan.
All right, let's take another call, Logan.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Judy, who's calling on line 4 in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is, if Obamacare is repealed, what will it do to Medicare?
Well, Medicare still exists on its own. I mean, Obamacare increased some of the funding and kind of played around with the funding of Medicare, but Medicare is a separate program, so it doesn't disappear at all. But Than, what would change is that Medicare, depending on, again, these sunset provisions, for at least a year, it wouldn't change at all how it was done. But then they would then address whether or not to keep that as a separate program in itself.
Yeah, that's right. That'd be addressed and replaced. But Jordan, honestly, people confuse Medicaid and Medicare a lot. Really, Medicaid is the one that is really significantly impacted by Obamacare because it was expanded. And now you have to decide whether or not to roll back that expansion, return it to the states, or expand it even further. So again, Medicaid is the one that is really the most in play here.
Medicare is a total federal program. Medicaid is a federal and state program. And that's where that issue came through there. So I think, again, I know it can be, it is confusing. But there's easy ways to do it, like say, hey, let's just repeal it, and then we'll let it give it sunset provisions and then replace it with something that is much better for everybody. Back to the phones we go.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Donna in Ohio on line 6. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for all the good information today.
Thanks, Donna.
My question was, why does government even have to be involved in our health care? If they open it up to the free market, families like myself and others could pick up insurance policies that we can afford without all these penalties.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is the goal, is that you want to encourage the insurance companies. I mean, everything is regulated to some extent. I'm not promoting regulations or anything, and I'm a guy who likes the free market, but for the free market to exist, there's got to still be rules and of how things work. Like, for instance, we'd have to change the rules to allow the insurance to be bought across state lines.
Right.
That's something that has to be done through rulemaking. So you can't just say nothing. We'd have to take action to do it. You also have to decide about how much of this is going to be regulated at the federal level or the state level. But there will always be balances there so long as we have social welfare programs at all in our country. And for instance, when you start saying, oh, well, I like keeping that 26-year-old on my insurance. Well, I mean, that again, you're not going to get that in that system. Now, you may be someone who says, I want the total free market. And I get that that position. But a lot of people, in fact, most Americans, they want the government involved to some extent, just regulating a little bit, not running it, regulating. There's a difference, Than, between running and regulating very quickly.
Yeah, well, and Obamacare also didn't create Medicare or Medicaid, to the last caller's point. So look, the federal government has been involved for a long time, for better or for worse, in this industry. The question is, to what extent should they be?
Exactly. Back to the phones.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Mary in Fort Worth, Texas, on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, Mary,
quickly.
Hi, guys. First of all, I just wanted to say I send you guys money, and I love, love, love hearing the results. That's why I send you money. And secondly, I agree
that.
With Donna. I know you do. You know, the government has an open season, just like any employer does, for people to pick out their health care plans. I don't understand where that small pocket of people that fall into the uninsurable or unaffordable or whatever can't go on to those government plans and pick and choose their plan that's affordable, just like a federal employee. Because really and truly, we pay taxes. We all have an ownership in the federal, you know, system. So
that's why
we can
get creative, Mary. I mean, you know, it's a limited group of people. It's not the majority of Americans are not in this group. The majority don't fall in the gap. And President Obama used to like to talk about that gap. It's not that large. It's a very small percent of the country. We spend way more money than we have to give people. We could probably give them much better plans just by saying, here it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of creating these giant bureaucracies to take care of it. Let's take the last call.
All right, Kathy in Sarasota. Oh, we lost Kathy.
Drop.
So, you know what? See if you can screen one of these real quick. Probably not, though. We've got a minute left.
We got through all of our calls.
Yeah. So, in your face. Sorry, Kathy. You should call back tomorrow. Yeah. Or you can't call back tomorrow. We're not here. Call back, after the holiday. It's fine. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Jay Secular Live this week.
People can stay updated. I feel like a lot could be happening on healthcare, even through the...
And in the news
July
in general.
July 4th in the news. I mean, with the investigations and the special counsels and the... You know, stay involved. It is getting into a holiday. It is not yet the holiday. And so you don't want to disengage completely. Stay up to speed with us, social media especially, Twitter, Facebook, ACLJ.org. You could continue to, you could share this broadcast even later today with your friends and family. If you thought that, I think that this information about Obamacare and the outright repeal needs attention, and how we went through it is different than what you'll see in 5 minutes on cable news, answering a lot of questions about that people had. So share it with your friends and family. Stay up to speed with us.
And continue to follow us on social media. That's at facebook.com/JaySeculo. Twitter, search for Jay Seculo, at Jay Seculo, at Jordan Seculo, at Logan Seculo, ACLJ. You can find us all there. We'll talk to you next week on Jay Seculo Live.
Have a good weekend.
It is very troubling. Former Obama Attorney General Loretta Lynch meddled in the FBI's investigation of Hillary Clinton. She instructed the FBI director to call the criminal investigation, quote, a matter, not an investigation. Now the Senate Judiciary Committee has launched an investigation into the former Obama AG's corrupt actions. We've started our own investigation at the ACLJ. Add your name to our petition. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.